Let's get right now to Ken Timmerman. Ken, lots of things to talk with you about. You look at geopolitical activities for us. Listen, the supreme leader of Iran, the Ayatollah Ali Khamenei, has made a statement, a public statement, that Iran will never give up its nuclear program. Now, he's making that statement in light of the meeting that's going on in Vienna with Iran and some of the superpowered leaders of this world. What are your thoughts about the supreme leader being very blatant when he says we're not going to give up our nuclear program?
Well, I think this is very clear, as you say, and it's a signal from the Iranian regime, one of many in recent weeks and recent months, actually, that they really have a completely different interpretation of these nuclear talks with the West than the rosy-eyed version being put forward by the European Union and by the Obama White House. The Supreme Leader, Khamenei, has made crystal clear that Iran is not only not going to give up its nuclear research programs, but it's not, in fact, going to slow down any significant activities that could help it to acquire a nuclear weapons capability. Iran continues to enrich uranium. They continue to install new generation centrifuges that give them an accelerated capability of enriching. They continue to work on the Arak heavy water nuclear reactor, which anybody who looks at this and understands a little bit about the technology knows is nothing but a bomb plant, a nuclear bomb plant. So all these things continue unabated while the diplomats palaver. Khamenei is just sticking his finger in Obama's eye, and unfortunately, the American side doesn't seem to mind.
And many people in this world have bought in to the fact that these men are going to be, and women, thinking of Catherine Ashton, who heads up the foreign policy for the European Union, and is a key player as it relates to the conversations going on there in Vienna. But meanwhile, Russia and Iran are talking about something else other than nuclear weapons. They're talking about a major oil deal. Now, with the sanctions being dropped, the Obama administration leading that effort, this opens up some economic advancement as far as Iran's concerned, and this oil deal with Russia is a big, big deal.
It is a big deal, Jimmy. They're talking about importing from Iran as much as 500,000 barrels a day. That's roughly a quarter of Iran's oil exports before the sanctions hit, and half of their oil exports today. So this is really an enormous expansion of Iran's oil exports. It's a shot in the arm to the Iranian economy. And like Khamenei's statement about continuing the nuclear program, it's also a finger being poked in the eye of President Obama. What we're seeing, really, and this is, I think, across the board, and I'm sure you want to discuss this more generally, but we're seeing a Russian government under Vladimir Putin that has no fear of the United States, no fear of U.S. sanctions, no concern that the United States would make it pay any price whatsoever for its actions. And so the Russians are reinforcing their geostrategic strengths, their positions, their relationship with the Islamic Republic of Iran, and we're seeing them do the same thing with Egypt as well. So this is, I think, part of a much bigger picture here that bodes ill for us.
Well, Ken, you brought up a very interesting theme as it relates to Russia. Let's talk about the Ukrainian situation. What's happening there in Russia has been warned by NATO that they had better back off. They're going to get in real trouble if they don't back off with this intervention and what's happening in the Ukraine. So here Russia's rearing up on its hind legs again.
Well, that's right. And we saw, remember last week when we spoke, there were 80,000 Russian troops amassed on the borders of Ukraine. They were they looked on the verge of an all-out invasion of Ukraine. They haven't done that yet, but they haven't lifted the encirclement of Ukraine either. And so what the United States and NATO have done essentially is to escalate the war of words. There's been no significant military movements on the part of the United States or NATO. We have moved one cruiser, I think it is, into the region. That's it. That is a pathetic response militarily, and it is not going to deter the Russians one bit. They have their main naval base in the Crimea, and they have these 80,000 troops. So they have us severely outgunned, if you wish.
That's a very interesting thought and information that is essential for us to understand as it relates to what's happening there in the Ukraine. Well, let's don't get off of Russia. You alluded to the fact they're developing a relationship with Egypt. A very important sign of warming ties between the Russian military delegation, who had a visit with the Egyptian military operation there as well at this time, just prior to the election of a new president who comes out of the military community. Very interesting visit at this time.
Well, it is. And this is the third or fourth high-level visit that the Egyptians and the Russians have exchanged in recent months. And they have come very clearly in response to the cold shoulder that President Obama has shown the Egyptian interim leader, General al-Sisi. Al-Sisi has told American retired military officers who have visited with him over the past several months that he is in desperate need of spare parts for their Cobra helicopters, their Apache helicopters, to be able to patrol in the Sinai against al-Qaeda and other terrorist groups allied with the Muslim Brotherhood there. The United States is not providing those spare parts. And so what the Egyptians are now considering doing is a tectonic shift, if you wish, away from American military equipment back to Russian equipment. Now, they did this once before in 1972, 1973. It was Sadat who shifted from a Soviet-backed military to an American-equipped military, and that led to a dramatic geopolitical agreement with Israel, the peace accords, the Camp David peace accords with Israel in 1979, got Sadat assassinated in the meantime. So al-Sisi, if you wish, is going back to the Russians as a response to the cold shoulder he's getting from the United States. This is predictable. It was predictable. We can see where this is going, and it shows to me the disaster of American foreign policy in the area.
Folks, as you're eavesdropping on this conversation that I'm having with Ken Timmerman, he looks at geopolitical activities, and what we're talking about is political activities, my dear friends, but it is indeed every one of the issues setting the stage for Bible prophecy to be fulfilled. When I take a look at the book, I'll get more into that. Ken, let me talk to you about, in fact, speaking of Bible prophecy, Daniel chapter 11, Syria is mentioned in the end time scenario, and they're not really moving fast enough, I don't believe, in destroying their chemical weapons. They made an agreement to do it. Time's running out on that agreement.
Well, that agreement gives them a deadline at the end of this month to get most of the chemical weapons, the Schedule I chemicals, to international chemical monitors. But, you know, again, I am a little bit less concerned about this than other people are. If you take a longer view on this, Syria is shipping its chemical weapons and its precursor chemicals to be destroyed. And at this point, they've sent roughly half of their arsenal. They retain about 500 tons of these weapons and chemicals, still a formidable arsenal. But that's half of what they had a year ago. And so, you know, this is the old story, Jimmy. Is that cup half empty or half full? I think it's half full in a positive way, meaning that they've gotten rid of half of the chemicals. I think that's a very positive step. And, yes, they are behind, and they may eventually renege on the deal. We'll have to wait and see. But a couple of months slippage, to me, is not a big deal.
The Afghan election's going to make a difference or not?
I think it will. This is it has been a successful election. There was not massive violence, as the Taliban was predicting and claiming that they would carry out. And it looks like we're going to have a pro-Western president, somebody who will repair the damage that Karzai and Obama created.
Very interesting end game as far as those Afghan elections that have just taken place. Ken Timmerman, looking at geopolitical activities. His vantage point is the Washington, D.C. area. And there on the catbird seat, he can tell us what's happening. We so appreciate it. Ken, thank you so much, my good friend. We'll talk again next week.
Thank you, Jimmy, and God bless.
Thank you, sir.